Hello everyone, my name's Felicity and welcome to the first episode of our podcast called Two Scottish Birds. I am from Edinburgh, I live in London, have lived there for about a year, and I, Megan and I have decided to start a podcast during the pandemic, basically because from my perspective, I listen to a lot of podcasts. I really enjoy it. I listen to more like comedy, like funny ones. And I just feel like there's not much representation in Scotland or in the UK. A lot of the podcasts I listen to are like American and stuff. So I just thought it would be a good opportunity for us to share our stories and what life is like for us as two late 20s, early 30s, single Scottish females, and share our learnings and failures. I'll let Megan go next. Do you want to intro yourself?
Okay. Hi, I'm Megan. And I live in Edinburgh still, I guess, worth pointing out that we actually lived together. That's how we met in the first place. And yeah, Felicity abandoned me for London, but it's okay. I'm not holding a grudge about that. And yeah, I guess initially I'm like along for the ride. I'm not actually that well versed in podcasts, but I do talk a lot, so I'm here for that. And equally, I feel like we balance each other out, definitely. And I would prepare yourselves mostly for the failures in life as opposed to any actual successes.
Yeah, same here. By the way, just quick tangent, like on the subject of us living together, so we lived together for like a year and a half. Why did you fail to tell me at any point that I like squeezed my toothpaste tube like an actual animal? Like I'm age 30. So I just kind of basically it was pointed out to me earlier this year by someone who I was on a date with. And he was in my home, so it was a successful date that I squeezed my toothpaste tube like an animal. And I've never thought about it. Like, I kind of learned how to squeeze my toothpaste out when I was about 2 years old, and I just never really thought to update the method. And so basically I just squeeze it like with big caveman hands. And I just, like, I was looking at it today and I was like, you know what, I'm gonna just put this to the masses. And I put it on my Instagram story, like, Do you think I squeeze my toothpaste tube like an animal? And it's really elicited like a major response from people, and very much like not in my favor. Everyone thinks I'm like, and people are messaging me saying that they're just quite surprised because, you know, it's just not in line with my brand. So yeah, thanks for like not training me.
I know, and I mean, I guess it didn't come up because I don't think that we shared a toothpaste at the time, but. Like, I'm not going to lie, it's actually it's one of my pet peeves. Like, it really, really bothers me.
Great.
When I go home, like, to my mum's, my brother's squeezed toothpaste like that. And I try to even it out. I'm not even going to lie. I actually, like, spend an extra couple of minutes in the bathroom, like, trying to fix the tube. I'm like, where is the logic? There's just no sense to this.
No, there is logic.
From the far end, obviously.
Okay, here's the thing. I feel like when with any kind of toothpaste squeezing methodology, what you really want to do ultimately is to, by the end of the finish of the tube, when you finish the tube, you want to have all the toothpaste gone. You don't want to have like any like bits not there, because then you're not getting your money's worth. And I definitely get all out. Like, I will seriously be like a total cheapskate, like be squeezing, rolling whatever I can do to get the end out, get the rest out. Like, I feel like, I just feel like if it ain't broke, don't fix it. But at the same time, I feel really exposed and like I'm different by all the responses I've got on Instagram. And yeah, that's my justification.
I do feel like there's an easy fix, and it's just by, you know, like the bottles of toothpaste that you just kind of like push the lid.
Oh yeah, I'm not exposed that way.
I feel like that's how we remedy this, because I don't know, I just, it doesn't even like aesthetically look as nice though, and I hate the vibe when you start to roll it up. It reminds me of, what are those, like a fucking winder. Do you remember the winders, the sweeties?
Yeah. But so you don't roll yours down? I thought that was the other way.
No, because I just buy like the full-on like hard tubes that I just pushed the lid. And even that, this is going to make me sound really OCD actually, because even those, again, if you like live with people like my family, they like get toothpaste all over the lid, and then it like smears on the inside of the plastic lid. It all really, really annoys me. I have to clean it. So actually, maybe I just have a bit of a like anal cleaning problem.
Just last question though, does it all come out of the hard tube? Like, this is my I just feel like the way like capitalism works, like I wouldn't, like I bet you, like, do you definitely get it all out?
You have to like push the inside bit up as you go, so like it, I guess, like moves the toothpaste up. I'm pretty like sure no, you probably don't get it all, like just by the way it kind of goes.
Yeah, so you know, you got that aesthetic pleasing kind of structure, mm-hmm. but actually mm-hmm. economically you might be, you know, losing a few pennies at the bottom.
Probably getting robbed, yeah, in the process.
Interesting.
I know.
Well, I'll take this into consideration next time I'm shopping for toothpaste, then yeah, I do feel very exposed today.
Definitely, or just like even it out before you have guests.
Yeah, okay. Noted. Okay, I'm glad that's cleared up. So we were kind of wanting to talk in this first episode more about kind of, you know, talking about what's been going on recently and the pandemic and how we found it. And we're now at December. So this is, 10 months now of Panny D life?
Yes.
And in some ways, like for me, it feels like I actually have been quite successful in progressing my life in some ways. Like I've moved house. I've been on a couple of cheeky holidays. I've done social things, but it just feels like, so physically my body has moved and progressed and done stuff over the last 10 months, but mentally I do feel like I'm still at March 13th. Like, it's weird.
I know. It's like, I know what you mean. I keep thinking nothing has happened, but at the same time, I'm like, well, actually, no. Summer's been and gone. I got a tan. I lost my tan. I started a new job. I started a business, which seems to escape me 90% of the time. But then now it's December and I feel like I've actually done nothing and my life hasn't progressed and like I've just got more wrinkles. And that seems to be the only thing I'm noticing. I just feel older and like grim.
But yeah, actually, I feel like this year just shouldn't count for everyone. Birthdays this year shouldn't count.
Hopefully not, anyway. Approaching the big 3-0 next year.
Yeah, I know. A big one. Mm-hmm. Yeah, I know. I feel like kind of a tangent as well, but you know, you're talking about like wrinkles and stuff like that. I honestly feel like I was plain sailing until like 27, and it was just like bang on that year that just I started getting like the laughter lines and stuff. But at the same time, I also feel that was at the age that I really kind of started to grow up, like actually genuinely mentally. So weird.
I know, and I feel like it's worth getting people used to the idea that there'll be tangents just now, just because I know how your brain works, and that tends to happen when like we're in a story or conversation.
Oh yeah, sorry.
There's a lot of branches to this tree.
Yeah. I know. Hard to keep up.
Part of your charm.
Yeah. Anyway, but it looks like really positive, and like the vaccine's getting rolled out, and there's loads of stuff that's going ahead for next summer. Like I've seen like a few adverts for like festivals, like Scottish ones that they're selling tickets for. There's other things like the Lions game happening in South Africa, like, and there's still like, you know, obviously there's some sporting events that are going on at the moment with like mm-hmm. a reduced like seating capacity, so I am starting to feel kind of excited about next summer and stuff actually happening and going on.
I cannot wait for travel plans to open back up again.
I know,
dying.
Yeah,
it's like so grim and grey in Scotland now, and I'm ready to like roast in the sun.
How did you see it? From 1st of January, technically, according to like Brexit rules, we can't actually go on holiday to the EU that easily.
What?
Yeah, because as of 1st of January, Britain basically becomes like a non-EU country, so the equivalent of like America, Canada, blah blah blah. So obviously those countries, they can't travel into Europe at the moment. So then we are becoming that category, and they're like, yeah, no, you're not coming at all.
Well, I feel like they'll reverse that soon, given that surely 90% of travel to the EU comes from like pasty white British people. Yeah.
I know, so true.
I'm like, yeah, good luck with all those like, you know, really bad British cafes everywhere. They'll be out of business.
Yeah, I know. I know, there's always like places like that whenever I go on holiday, and for some reason you always end up there. And I'm like, why am I in an Irish bar when I'm in Spain?
Yeah, Benidorm will be a goner like the minute they shut us down.
Yeah, I know. Lol.
I know. But well, then it's just gonna have to be further afield.
Yeah, and I really want to kind of start going on holiday. This is a weird one. I feel like I always go on a big summer holiday usually, and I feel like that's because when I was younger and at school we'd go on a summer holiday because that's when you had time off. But actually, kind of looking at now when you're older, like, and you're not at school, I don't know why I continue to go on a big holiday in the summer and leave my country, or even though I'm not living in Scotland, at the best time of its year. And then in winter, just be like, not really go anywhere and be hating it because it's so cold and dark. And yeah, I really want to start going on a winter holiday somewhere like far afield, southern hemisphere. Love to do a new year like in the hot country. That would be cool.
Yeah, and really it's one of the only benefits to being single and childless at this age. So I feel like we need to just capitalise on that. Like, we don't have many of these years left. Well, I say that, let's face it, probably a lie. But, you know, it is key winning point right here that we are not tied to school holidays.
Yeah, I know, exactly. And obviously it's cheaper as well, should be. So yeah, we are both single in the pandemic. What kind of commentary do you have about like navigating that during that time?
Honestly, I feel like I did the apps in the beginning of the pandemic just for entertainment because I was like, I need someone to talk to other than my flatmate. And it's like, I didn't even want a date. I was just like, I need some messages off people and like some gratification. And then summer, I feel like I took a big break from it after summer because I resigned myself to the fact that we couldn't actually date. There was like no good options in terms of a first date. You went for like a walk and coffee.
Yeah.
And we're still kind of in that stage. So I kind of abandoned it, tried to pick it back up recently just to be like totally, totally depressed at the dating pool that was available. And then, yeah, now I'm just like back in my duvet with like numerous cups of coffee.
Yeah, I know. I'm the same as well. What I've also found is that like I've straight up never looked my worst. Like, and also my style's just completely changed in that like I'm just way more hairy. I wear just comfy baggy stuff all the time.
Yeah,
even my hair. I used to have like blonde hair, and then I just kind of went to the box dye this year for ease as well, so I don't have to like really go, I don't have to rely on the hairdressers being open, and I look entirely different to any photos I really have. First of all, so on these dating apps I just feel like I don't have much to show, and then when I do turn up, like, I'm just conscious that they're going to be like, wait, sorry, where's Felicity, what? and then I also at the same time, like, back in the day before Corona BC, like, often you'd go on dates like after work, and then you didn't have much time to be nervous about it because you'd be at work all day, and then you'd already been like interacting with people all day, and it would just be something that for a first date anyway, it'd be kind of quick, you know, usually, and then it just wasn't like such a big deal. Now, because I'm not interacting with that many people, just like the idea of like a new social interaction with someone new, it just makes it even more kind of like antsy. So I've been on a few dates and none of them have really led anywhere, but yeah, it was particularly difficult during the actual lockdowns as they started to ease, because you could only really meet someone in a park, and it's just a bit weird.
I know. It reminds me of like when you're about 17, everyone's like, oh, we should get a takeaway pint or takeaway coffee and just walk for about 2 hours. And in winter, you're absolutely frozen. But the, what was I going to say? I've forgotten. It's gone.
Yeah. Did you ever, like, obviously you grew up in Stirling?
Livingston,
sorry. I did know that. I just always get mixed up with those two places. I got no idea why. But in Edinburgh, I remember like talking about those kind of dates when you'd meet up and you were like 16 and like in groups, and like you'd have met them on MSN or something. People used to always go to like the Princess Mall, like at the bottom, like where there's
nice
Burger King kind of stuff. It was, yeah, so funny, because I did actually go on a date with someone a couple of months ago, and then we organized the date, and it was in the Westfield, like Stratford, which is it's basically like a big shopping center.
Oh yeah, okay, I've been. Yeah,
yeah, it was just random. We went to like Las Iguanas, and it was just so funny sitting there on the first date, like watching loads of teenagers and kids and stuff, and I'm like, this is like, look, fortunately he was a really nice guy, really funny, and like it was like a great date, but like it just was reminded me so much of those days. But yes, that was actually not during lockdown, so there was really no excuse for that location. But
it worked like out. I don't think I've had a successful date in the whole, like, from March to, well, April, I guess, to now. I'm trying to add up. Like, I had a flurry of sort of walking coffee dates early on when it was still kind of summer. And I remember going to, it would have been, there's the Hermitage. Is it Braids Hill or Blackford Hill? It's one or the other.
Okay.
Maybe. And it was maybe on the most humid day of the summer. So, like, we met, you're already kind of horribly sticky, decided then, obviously, to go on a big walk up a massive hill, huge incline. I swear to God, the two of us were just dripping sweat by the time we got to it, that if I'd maybe been more assertive, I would have actually just said, look, there's no way we can be like attracted to each other at all right now. You have full on sweat pools like in your armpits, down your t-shirt. I was like, my hair is stuck to my face and head. And like, I genuinely feel like I've just stepped out of some weird sauna shower. Should we just call it a day? But then sat there for another hour, painfully trying to talk to each other and ignore the fact that we were both sweating like profusely. I've never been so fucking relieved to get in my car to drive home.
That was a first date.
That was a first date. And I was like, there's no way I could have looked any worse. But I think that scarred me. I don't think I went on another one for a couple of months after that. I was like, let's wait till the cold weather like starts slightly.
Yeah, definitely. That's cool.
But no, it's not good.
I remember that happened, a similar kind of first date happened to but in a different season, a friend of mine, and she was going on a first date with someone, and then he organized it, and it was, honest to God, it was like the 3rd of January or something, like single figures January. And then he was like, he sent her a message before being like, oh, by the way, make sure you dress warm and bring your walking boots. And my friend in particular is like quite glam, and she was like, okay. And then yeah, he took her up Arthur's Seat or something, and it was like the weather was absolutely freezing, and then like cracked out like a gin and tonic at the top, and she was like shaking. And yeah, I think just in general, hikes on first dates, maybe if we lived in like LA or California, that would be fine, but I just don't think in the UK that's always a good choice.
No. And like, what was it earlier, this one, I think this one takes the cake, to be honest. Like, my friend, one of my friends, I'm gonna keep her nameless here to, you know, privacy, she was so bored with life that this guy she was talking to, they were like, right, let's go on a first date, happy to meet up. And he said, well, I'm actually going to go camping up to, was it like Glenetive, Kennaway? Do you want to come? So for their first date, he picked her up. They drove to like this glen, camped for the night, but literally like no bathroom, nothing. Like, and she told me they hit that point where it was like really awkward conversation in the car on the way. So then she proceeded to have to spend the whole afternoon, evening, into the next morning with him and drive home in almost total silence. And I think as the night went on, like, she slept with him just for something to do.
Yeah.
Just because it was like...
So that was their first date, sorry.
That was their first date.
Yeah. That's a long time to spend with someone,
murder,
you know.
A long time, yeah. A very long time. Like, I did a second date, like, up some hills in the Pentlands with a guy once, and... I mean, I was worried about that.
Yeah.
So I was like, this is like multiple hours to spend with someone if you run out of conversation.
Yeah, so. Yeah. It's also tricky because you're not like in your best form. Like, when you're exercising or finding it difficult, like me, I tend to be like quite like complainy in a calm and humorous way. But like, I'm not my best self when I'm like exerting myself.
No, I think everyone has an image of like some sort of majestic like gazelle, like just sort of like sprightly heading up this hill, but in fact like your hair's everywhere, you're blowing a gale, you probably like really need to blow your nose sniffing,
yeah,
and like super sweaty and horrible. It's not really the most comfortable situation if someone's not kind of already been around you a good amount to know that they fancy you.
Yeah.
Almost like to look past it.
Yeah, I know. Mm-hmm. So what do you think is like a ideal pandemic date?
I'm like a fan of if it's a nice day, just having a coffee. And because the normal scenario for me, I would just go for a drink. I like, there's no way I would commit to food on a first date. I just think it's too long. It's too drawn out. And like, I like a good get out of there fast kind of option. So I would always say coffee and a walk or a couple of drinks. And then if it's going well, you know, you can extend. But beyond that, I think you have a good excuse to leave. Like, I know I've bailed on guys once or twice after just one drink, because it's evidently like really shit. So no dinner, no lunch, no breakfast, nothing until minimum date two.
Yeah. You know, I've always found quite weird is that like going out for dinner and drinks is like a classic date. So that is the most classic mm-hmm. standard date. What also happens on dates sometimes, if it's going well, is that people have sex, right?
Do they?
I've gone out for like a big fancy or any sort of like, you know, restaurant meal, like the last thing I want to be doing like 2 hours later is like getting naked and getting on. Like, it's just for me, yeah, no. And it's just quite weird. I've always found that quite weird. Like, obviously when you're in a relationship then it's fine, but you know, not when you're you know, getting to know people.
No, it's true, you want to be skinny. Yeah. You want to be like food baby sort of situation. And if I actually think back, and like any first dates that I've ended up sleeping with someone, there hasn't been any food involved. Like, I've met people for drinks like post dinner time, so I've had like a really light tea at home, met them for drinks at like, I don't know, maybe 8, and it's like we've just kept drinking, and then, you know, obviously made bad decisions, but
yeah,
no big meal, absolutely none. I feel like big meal is like when you're a little bit comfortable and you can both just kind of be horizontal and fat.
Yeah,
in each other's company without anybody really being naked, or when you are, it's fine because they know that you normally look better.
Yeah, as well. Also, what's strange is like obviously when you go out for like a restaurant meal, you probably aren't going to go for like a plain chicken salad. You're probably going to have mm-mm. like garlic butter, like all these kinds of
true.
Like that. But you're probably fucking stinking. The other person probably is as well. It's just like it's the most unromantic like aphrodisiac-y thing that you think you could do. Before like potentially like sleeping with someone is to have I could go out for a restaurant to a restaurant for a meal. Honestly, I think we need to break this ideal.
Maybe make a system, like a tiered system, or even like your first dinner you have to pick a pretty bland food before you start reaching for like the chili and the garlic.
Yeah,
100%. Yeah. It's like the rule I have about spaghetti, like I won't order pasta because chances are it's going to be all over you.
Yeah, true. How do you feel about burgers? Like, I love a burger, but it's just something like when you have to bite into it on like a date and it's like falling over your face and you're like, hi.
I know. I actually, yeah, I love a burger generally, but like I feel like I have a weirdly small mouth. And okay. I just think like I see these things coming out of the kitchen. I'm like, oh my God, there's no way I'm getting a mouth around that. So in front of a guy I've just started dating, like absolutely not, because I'm not someone that's like, you know, a knife and fork with a burger. I fully believe you've got to just like get in about it.
Yeah.
Like none of that. But yes, chances are it's going all down myself. I'm gonna have to like pick bits out of it to be able to fit it in my face.
Do you know what I actually just realized? I do actually fork and knife a burger after all that chat. Do what I do is I
why am I not surprised? First your fucking toothpaste behavior and now you fork and knife a burger.
No, I'm bringing it up because I feel like it's redeeming, because I feel like the toothpaste behavior is not very ladylike. It's like caveman squeeze tube. And now I'm like, well actually, so if some guy like sees that, I can be like, well actually, you know, I fork and knife a burger, so
actually she's not honest.
I'm a princess.
Well wait, then where do we stand on pizza here, because this might be unforgivable.
I'm usually a mix, I think. Like, I'll cut up, but then I often maybe end up using my hands. But, well, like, I'll certainly, like, cut up into slices and then start using a fork and knife. But then me, you know, the crust I would always eat with my fingers. What about you?
Oh, no, hands all the way.
Yeah.
Definitely. Unless it's, like, abnormally large. Like, you know, if you're in America and the slices are, like, as big as your face.
Yeah, okay, yeah.
You need a bit of a helping hand there.
Yeah. What about like that on subject of dates, like cutlery etiquette? Like, I have a friend who once said that he would not get the ick, but kind of get the ick if there was someone like a girl like not using fork and knife in the right hands. He wasn't even really posh. He was like, fucking Fairmount Head. But I was like, what? Like, obviously I'm having like, if I'm just using my fork, I'll use my right hand. Anyway,
yeah, this is a bit but stuck in my head. It, like, if you're holding them fully wrong or you cut, like, your knife, like, if you, I guess I see his point. It is, like, a little bit savage if you don't know how to hold a fork and knife properly.
Yeah.
But I think I could maybe, oh, I don't know, could I forgive that? Maybe slightly. The thing I cannot forgive, though, is people that chew with their mouth open. Like, straight away, I would be bailing out of that. Like, I can't actually deal with that. I don't need to see the full cow, like, swirling around someone's mouth. It really disgusts me on so many levels.
Yeah. I don't think I've, like, been in a situation with too many people eating with their mouths open. Either that or I'm actually fine with it and I don't notice it. But, yeah. Yeah. I feel we veered off from the pandemic.
Yeah, we have. I think that's going to happen a lot with me and you.
With me as a co-host. It's me as a co-host. That's probably always going to happen.
I was going to say, either that or we're going to have to write some, like, somehow agendas and keep, like, circling back. But, yeah, I feel like it's just going to drift.
To be fair, though, my favourite DJs are the ones that play a little bit of the song and then just as you're getting bored, they, like, change up. Like, that's just what we're serving. There's no, like, listening to a whole album.
I guess maybe it's just going to be a disclaimer, isn't it, at the start of that? In, like, in the bio or the description, being like, there's going to be rough topics, but conversation may vary.
Come for the journey. Come for the experience.